have everybody stand who's was in the service, currently in the service, so we can just give you an applause. Please stand. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Beautiful. We're blessed to have you all with us. We're blessed to live in this United States free. Thinking about all the stuff that's been going on this week, it's heavy. Heavy things that are going on in the world. When I turned on the news and saw the people at the college out there, whatever they were doing out there, and I could solve that problem, and I kept yelling at my TV and saying three words, go to class, man. Go to class. And then I thought about three other words that might help, love one another. I don't know what else to say about all that. Paris, I don't know what to say about all that. It's just we live in a sad world, and I just bring it back here to this location and this church that God has blessed us with. It's definitely God's church. He owns this church. We're here to represent Christ. We're here to learn about Christ. We're here to grow in His name. And I think to myself, what are we supposed to do? This is Christ's church, Community Christian Fellowship. What are we supposed to be doing at this time, at this place? And these two verses messed me up this week because all the stuff going on. What is God telling us to do? 2 Corinthians 5:20 and 21 tells us this. Therefore, with everything going on in the world, all the tragedies we see, people losing their lives, therefore we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God was making His appeal through us. We beg you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. He made Him who knew no sin to be sin in our behalf, so that we might become the righteousness of God in Him. When you look up the word ambassador in dictionary, it says a diplomatic official of the highest rank appointed and accredited as a representative in residence by one government to another. It's an authorized representative or a messenger. And then I found that the USA has 265 ambassadors right now around this world. So I think to myself, we're ambassadors here. I look over here in these teenagers, and I want you to realize today, you're an ambassador to where you attend school. Where you go to school, you're an ambassador. Joey Lebeling is an ambassador at Dominion High School. Think it, whatever the name of the school you go to, I don't know, praise God. But think about it, we're ambassadors. And when Paul was writing this, I think he was describing his role in his role for all believers as a messenger. We're representing the King of Heaven. That's why we're here today, to learn how we can become a better ambassador, how we can represent Him in our families, in our neighborhoods, at our jobs, here in the neighborhood. So we're representing the King of Heaven today. We have the gospel. We have the good news. And He's pleading with us. Be reconciled to God. Give your life to Christ. Learn how to live for Him, because through Christ, even though we see all these tragedies going on around the world and even in our own nation, we have hope because we have Christ in us. We have peace that we can live this life, that we can love, that we can forgive, that we can be an instrument of Him, so we might become the righteousness of God in Him. Parker J. Palmer, he's the founder and senior partner of the Center for Courage and Renewal. That's a great center, man. Center of Courage and Renewal. He's a world-renowned writer, this Parker J. Palmer. He's a speaker. He's an activist who focuses on issues in education, community, leadership, spirituality, and social change. He made this statement in a book, and I love it. To teach is to create a space in which the community of truth is practiced. If you're a teacher, you have the responsibility to create a learning space where learners can engage in truth. But the learner has a responsibility as well. And when you look at that statement, notice he didn't say that the community of truth is learned. He said the community of truth is practiced. In our Sunday school class this morning, there was two questions asked. And I believe the first one is for this church at this time. It says, how can you create a space, a place where the master teacher, Jesus, can teach you? That's the calling we have here. That's the job we've been given, to create a space and a place where the master teacher, Jesus, can teach us. I'm sure when Pastor Caleb is working and getting ready for Wednesday night, he's trying to create a place in here. Y'all see the new blinds, man. Teenagers, take it easy on them, will you? Praise God. Oh, my gosh. How can we create a place where Jesus can teach us? And that brought me back to that classically trained group, Casey and the Sunshine Band, man. They were asked. I mean, they made this song called Dig, 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 Dig into His Word. His Word, Dig, Dig, Dig. You ever heard that, KS? KFC, praise God, Casey and the Sunshine Band. Song, I love it. So it's beautiful. So the second question they asked today in that in our Sunday school class was, and it's really for us, it's really for every one of us as a believer. So if you didn't get to attend the class today, you get to hear the question today. What would you need in order to be in that space so that you can hear His voice clearly and understand what He's calling you to do? That's beautiful. I mean, that is a beautiful question. And if you're sitting here and you're a believer in Christ, you have to ask yourself that question. What do I need to do? Where do I need to be? Where do I need to go so I can hear from His voice? Because I know He has a plan for me. The prophet Jeremiah said He has a plan for you, not to harm you, but to give you a hope and a future. And that's what we have in this generation right now. We need an army of people who have hope in their lives, who knows what the future's going to be. So I think in order for us to become a church that is passionate about being a church who understands and wants to fulfill the command of God, we need to be that Great Commission church full of ambassadors, full of people who are ready and prepared to make a difference for us. Last week, Keith had us look at Matthew 28:16-20. Today, I would like to look at what the disciple Mark said about the Great Commission. And in Mark 16:14-16, and the little subtitle in the New American Standard Bible is really cool, The Disciples' Commission. The Disciples' Commission. When we're going to do core here that Elizabeth was talking about, those two Wednesday nights in December, we're gathering together so we can grow, and we want to commission you. We want to commission you to a ministry in this church. We want to commission you to be ready and go and share the gospel. So it says in Mark 16, afterward, He, being Jesus, appeared to the 11 themselves as they were reclining at the table. And what did Jesus do? He reproached them for their unbelief and hardness of heart because they did not believe those who had seen Him after He had risen. And He said to them, and He made this claim to them, He was commissioning the disciples to spread the gospel around the world. He said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. He who has believed and has been baptized shall be saved. But he who has disbelieved shall be condemned. So today I want to share with you seven characteristics of what a church should be, what it would look like if we wanted to practice truth. Number one is a Great Commission vision so ambassadors can flourish. We want nothing else but you to be able to flourish in your neighborhood. I'm sure Pastor Caleb would say, I would want nothing else but you teenagers to go into schools where God has you so you can flourish as an ambassador. And how do we do that? The intentional pursuit of lost people. How do we do that? The evangelization of those we pursue. That's what CORE is all about. Evangelization. And next, the edification of those who accept the message. We need to edify people. We need to encourage people. This morning I got a call from my cousin that my uncle died this morning at 5:30. He was 90 years old. Man, I'm getting old. He was 90 years old and he lived in New York, and a very successful man, you know, had a lot of things. You know, his family's been surrounding him the last couple weeks as they knew he was going to pass away. And my Uncle Joe left this world today, 90 years old. The last person on my father's side of the family is gone now. And it just made me think about his life. And, you know, when you go to funerals, you start thinking about your life. I love speaking at funerals. I love it. Because when you go to a funeral, you're thinking about, man, that's going to happen to me one day. I'm going to be in that coffin one day. And what's it going to be like for me? What's going to happen when I leave this world? And when you receive Christ in your life, you have that hope. You have your hope knowing that when you leave this world, your soul immediately goes in the presence of God. And yeah, there's going to be a judgment day, not a judgment whether you're going to heaven or hell or not. When you receive Christ in your heart, when you realize there's nobody on that cross, that he came to earth, lived a sinful life, paid the price for our sins, died, was buried, and rose again, that his tomb is empty. And he's in heaven making intercession for you right now. And I'm praying he's doing that to somebody here right now. Somebody might be here living, that have lived their life their whole time thinking, I could work my way to heaven, or I could be good enough to heaven because that's the way I grew up. Man, when I did confession that time in that Catholic church, when I went to visit my uncle, and they didn't do the thing where they opened the door up and he's sitting on the other side. You sat in a room, and you sat 5 feet away from that priest telling him the sins you did. Boy, I was scared to death, man, that day. I don't know why I went there, but I was just scared. Praise God. And I pray that my uncle received Christ. I pray that he knew. I remember a few years ago, Kathy and I went up there, and he took me around the neighborhood, and he wanted to introduce me. He's a pastor. He's a pastor in a church in Virginia. You know, that's how he would do that all the time. And I just, you know, you just share the truth with people. You just live out the truth with people. You be an ambassador so you can make a difference for him. Number two, we need a strong servant leadership focus. It's so important. It's so important. Those of you that are helping in the youth ministry, or helping in the children's ministry, or leading in a ladies' ministry or men's ministry, it's so important. It's strong as a leader. You have to be close to God. You have to want nothing else but to have his light shining through you so people can see Christ in you. Godly character is the essential element that qualifies Christians to lead others. That's it. It earns people's respect and produces trust. The most critical factor in all relationships is trust. A leader's vision helps people to see where they're going and supplies the motivation to get there. And this is what we supply ourselves with, God's Word. This is what we meditate on, God's Word. I got to walk into a youth group down in Reston Wednesday night at this church called the Capital Church. You might know them because they always do a big production of Easter downtown. But I walked in, you know, sunrise service, but I walked in that group and there was like 23 teenagers in there and they were worshiping. They were really worshiping God, and I looked at them, and I said, well, can somebody read me the last verse Peter wrote in the Bible? So they opened it up, and they read it, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That's for us. That's for us as believers today, that we keep growing in him. And the more we grow, the more we realize how important it is to become a servant, how important it is to become a leader. It's very important. We've been given a vision here. We've been supplied with a vision by the Holy Spirit through the elders to us to lead this congregation to success. And our vision here, if you open up your listening guide and look on the back of the green page there, one page is your question so you can go deeper from this message. And the other page, you can have it right with you. Keep this in your Bible. When somebody asks you, what is our church about? This is our vision, to reach and to lead all people to love God, love others, and live missionally. It's so important. Now, the media out there is portraying churches that we know it all. We're better than anybody else. We don't care about anybody else. Our church doors are locked because we don't want anybody who doesn't know the Lord come in. That's a lie, man. I want nothing else but people to walk through this door every week. I want nothing else but this place to be full of people who haven't heard the word Jesus, who doesn't understand what it means to have a relationship with God, so that we can love on them and tell them that God has a plan for them and tell them that nothing they've done that God won't forgive them for. Our mission here is to make disciples, who then make disciples. We have a process and we talk about every week, gather, grow, and go. We even broke it down, so we wanted to simplify it. We call it three touches, Sunday, Wednesday, and community groups, and we want to state how we accomplish all this, accomplish this mandate that the Holy Spirit has given us a little over a year ago that we want to value. We want to encourage people. We want to equip people. We want to express the things of God to them. We want to engage with them. And we feel like when we do that, we're honoring God with our lives, with this building, with what we do, and we'll be successful for Him. People will come to know Him. People will come in and realize that we love God and we love others, and we want to see them grow in their relationship with God. Number three, we need to mobilize a lay army of ambassadors. That's so important. God's plan is that all Christians would be involved in some form of ministry. There was a survey taken by the Gallup poll that indicates only 10% of church members do 90% of the church ministry. So the solution of this problem is to set up a good lay mobilization program that seeks to place people with the gifts God has given them and place them in the ministries so they can make a difference for Him. Number four, we need a culturally relevant ministry. Because when you think about it, the cultural leap from the typical unchurched mentality to that of most American churches is very vast. When we become a believer, we become an ambassador, and we start to have a different mindset. Paul wrote earlier in that chapter 5, he wrote this, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old things pass away. Behold, all new things have come. Now, all these things are from God who reconciled us to Himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Namely, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to Himself, not counting their trespasses against them. He has committed to us the word of reconciliation." Don't let the enemy tell you in your mind that God will never forgive you of the sins you've committed, because He will. My Uncle Joe, when I was 11 years old, I keep bringing him up, but it just comes back, and we would go to New York, and you know, my grandfather was in the mafia and all that stuff, but nobody laughed at that, man. But I can remember my Uncle Joe, when I was 11 years old, his wife was Antonia, and that was my favorite aunt. Antonia, I just couldn't wait to go up there and eat some bialys, whatever the Italians call them, and it was just a great time. But he met a lady at the drive-in window in the bank, and he left Antonia and married her. And I can remember being 11 or 12-year-old kid in their house, and him walking in there on Father's Day when he had left his wife and married this other lady, and he was looking at his kids and saying, "Aren't you going to wish me a happy Father's Day?" And I can remember being 11 and 12 years old and thinking, what in the world? I want to slug him. You know what I mean? I want to wish him a happy Father's Day, but I didn't understand all that stuff back then. But I pray that all of us is messed up, man. All of us has done things that we're not pleased with. We're not any better than anybody else. Just love God. Love others. Live your life missionally so you can make a difference for Him in this generation. Our church must be culturally relevant if we are to reach this future generation and the rest of the generations for our Savior. If we think about it, if we really face the facts, there are unchurched people in our community that have needs. And we have to figure out, we have to seek God and ask Him to show us how we can meet the needs of the unchurched so we can make a difference for Him in this generation. Number five, we need authentic worship. So important. When I saw the email that the teens put out this week, and it said Pastor Caleb was going to talk about a worship lifestyle, we need to be talking about that. Romans, it says, therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in the view of God's mercy. And it's almost like I want to put a parenthesis there and say, in the view of God's mercy, as ambassadors for Christ, offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. This is how we're supposed to live our lives as Christians. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. We're seeing what's going on that college campus. That's starting to be the pattern of this world. And it's scary, where there's no authority involved, no respect to authority, nothing about God, wanting everything for free. Praise God. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. And if you're sitting here today wondering, man, what's God's will for my life, man? What's His good, pleasing, and perfect will for me in this generation? And I would urge you, as Paul did there, offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. If you're in a home where your spouse doesn't know the Lord, offer your body as a living sacrifice to them. Let them see Christ in you, so that we'll be able to give Him glory when your spouse bends his knee or her knee and receives the Lord and Savior. Six, we need a biblical, relevant outreach. And Todd's going to come up and talk about that in a few minutes, because it's so important, the go part. Just as Jesus taught us in His Word, churches must value lost people. Churches must spend time with them. Churches must understand their needs. That's how we're going to make a difference for Him in this generation. So I think ultimately evangelism is best accomplished through a well-designed strategy that pursues lost people where they are. When Paul wrote to the book at Colossians, it's like two verses that I always lay aside on. I think to myself, you know, you're going to schools where there's unchurched people. You're going to work where there's people who don't know the Lord. You're living in your neighborhood on purpose because God has put you there because you used to be lost and now you're found and now you want to make a difference in Him. How do you live your life? Walk in wisdom. Walk in wisdom towards them without, redeeming the time. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how to answer everyone. If we could learn how to live out those two verses, we would need two services here. That's the best thing I can say. Learn, grow in your relationship with God so you'll know what it means to walk in wisdom towards then without, redeeming the time. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how to answer each one. Lastly, a robust community group network. Now, I'm going to spend a little time here before I close, because we as a Great Commission church must place more and more emphasis on the ministry of small groups, or what we like to call them, community groups. If you look at that half sheet, every week we'll have questions in there so that you can go deeper in your relationship with God and learn about His Word. And you'll always see at the bottom of that page, CCF Community Group Mission Statement. Building community to go and reach community. in our staff meeting, gosh, it's probably been 3 months ago, just getting together, praying, seeking God. How can we get people connected who are here on Sunday morning, connected with other Christians so they can grow in their relationship with God and make a difference for Him? So we came up with a plan to really answer the question that I asked you in the beginning. We wanted to create a space. We wanted to create a place where the master teacher can teach us, can teach you. And then the first week of October, I took this plan in the elders' meeting and just shared with them and shared my heart that I felt like myself and the staff, we felt like the Lord was talking to. And then we, meaning Kevin and I and Bill and Eric, started preparing brothers and sisters, and will continue to do so through the end of the year, going through this series called Building Biblical Community. Because we feel like community groups should be a place where we celebrate. Community groups should be a place where we learn, where we love, where we serve. So in January, we're going to have what we call a community group kickoff. We're going to do it right here on Sunday morning at 10:45 on January 10th, Lord willing. And I keep having this picture of a 2-foot snowstorm on the 9th. But then that we can just gather people together in groups so we can connect with one another and talk with one another and take what God has given us and share with people as we celebrate with one another, as we learn with one another, as we love with one another, and then ultimately serve to make a difference for Him. And then I had in my mind, oh, what are we going to do for those weeks that we gather together? Because we're going to do it on the Sunday morning at 10:45, but then we're going to, before that time, someone will be calling you and say, hey, I'm a community group leader. I would love for you to sit at my table this Sunday morning. I would love when you come in here and sit. And then once we do that week, then we're really going to cross the line and we're really going to ask you to do something. It's going to be hard for me to get this out to you, but I'm going to lay it out. We're going to ask you to come at 9:30 every Sunday. Man, it's unbelievable. I can't believe we're asking you to do that. I can't. Sorry, I'm trying to be sarcastic at the same time. But we're going to ask you for like 14 weeks to show up here at 9:30, to be a part of a small group of people where you can learn, where you can celebrate, where you can grow. And what are we going to do? We're going to go through some books of the Bible. We're going to go through Philippians. We're going to go through Colossians. We're going to go through Ephesians. If we did a chapter a week, if I spoke about it on Sunday morning and we got together the next Sunday morning at 9:30 and went through questions and grow deep, I'm telling you, your heart is going to be filled up with the Word of God. Your heart is going to be bursting because you're going to make a commitment to get together with a group of people and grow in your relationship with God. This week, I was going to call a couple principals and ask them, has any parent ever called on a school day and said, listen, man, my kid just can't get up this morning. I'm just not going to bring him to school today. I mean, has that ever happened? You know what I mean? Think about it. I'm just asking you to come at 9:30. Because if you want to become an ambassador, the Lord will start putting people in your path. People who don't know Lord. People who want to have the hope that you have within them. And then you're going to be able to make a difference by spending time with them and asking them questions and teaching them and showing them God's Word and spending time with them. And I really feel like this whole plan is the Holy Spirit waking us up to the realization that we are ambassadors for Christ. We're His children. The Holy Spirit is pouring the things of God in us, and He wants us to be so full of Him that we want to get it out to other people. As though God was making an appeal through us. We beg you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. He made Him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf so that we might become the righteousness of God in Him. Now, I also want to share this in here. You might be sitting in here this morning and you're thinking 9:30 to 10:30 on a Sunday morning for like 3 or 4 months, there's no way that's going to work for me. And my answer to you is, that's fine. That's fine. We're not going to be offended by you. We're not going to be upset that you're not joining us. It just might not be your season to do that. Or you might be sitting here saying, I'm already plugged into a group. I'm already growing with a group of people. That's fantastic. Praise God. You're an ambassador for Christ. We just want to provide our church family the answer to the two questions. How can you create space, a place where the master teacher, Jesus, can teach you? And what would you need to do in order to be in that space so that you can hear his voice clearly and understand what he's calling you to do? So we've set a place, we've set a time so that all of us can hear God's voice and understand as ambassadors what he's calling you to do. If the ushers could come forward. Jesus said in Matthew 22, 9 and 10, go to the street corners, invite to the banquet anyone you find. So the servants went out. That's us. The servants went out into the streets and gathered all the people they could find, as bad as well as the good. And the wedding hall was filled with guests. Let's fill this place for his glory. I'm begging you. I'm pleading with you. Because it's going to be his glory, for his honor and his praise. Let's seek to please him with all we do by reaching out to other people. A couple verses and then we'll pray for the offering. 2 Corinthians 4:7. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels so that the surpassing greatness of power will be of God and not of ourselves. 2 Corinthians 2. But thanks be to God, who always leads us in triumph in Christ and manifests through us the sweet aroma of the knowledge of him in every place. I love that verse. For we are the fragrance of Christ among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. To one, the aroma from death to death. To the other, the aroma of life to life. And who is adequate for these things? We're not without him. We're not adequate without him. We're not adequate without the Holy Spirit working through us. We're not adequate without God speaking through us. For we are not like many peddling the word of God, but as from sincerity. But as from God, we speak in Christ in the sight of God. Father, I ask you to bless our time here today, Lord. Father, I pray as we take this offering, Lord, and as we hear from a man, Todd Damon, who's passionate about going, passionate about making a difference in our neighborhood for him, Father. So I just ask you to bless this offering, Father, and I thank the people that are generous in giving, Father. I thank those people who have understood what it means to give with a cheerful heart, Father. We just give you the glory for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God.